But the Arabian steed was not ready for an elephant. This was another form of warfare. And so Abraha defeated the Yemenis. He went north. He defeated the Arab tribes in Najran, in that area. He went to At-Ta'if, high in the mountains. He defeated the people. He strategically defeated them psychologically. They came out and they submitted. They say, "We worship idols. We're like you." And so he defeated them psychologically, and he continued on until he camped outside of Mecca. There, they plundered the countryside. And from the booty, the ghanima that they got, were 200 of the camels of Abdul Muttalib, who at that time was the leader of Quraysh, the guardian of the Kaaba. And so Abraha, in the way of the old, he called for the leaders first. Before he attacked the Kaaba, he wanted to see the personality of the Arabs. And so he called Abdul Muttalib. And it is reported that Abdul Muttalib was naturally a noble person. He carried himself in a very noble way. And when Abraha saw this, he respected the way he looked. And so Abraha sat on the rug. And this is giving respect, because usually he would sit above people. But he sat on the rug with Abdul Muttalib. And he said, "I'm about to attack your Kaaba. What do you want? Will you negotiate?" Abdul Muttalib answered and said, "As for me, I am the lord of these camels, Rabbul Ibl. But for this house has a Rabb. It has a lord. And that lord will defend the house." Abraha was upset and he was surprised. "All you want is your camels? Take your camels." And Abdul Muttalib and the rest of Quraysh waited. They went to the high parts of Mecca, and the city was deserted. The next day, the Ethiopians faced Mecca, and they tried to go forward, but the camels, when they pointed to the Kaaba, refused to move. The camels kneeled down. They stabbed the camel. They beat the camel. They tried everything. When they pointed the camel south, away, the camel got up and walked. If they pointed it to the right or to the left, away from the Kaaba, it would walk. But you point it to the Kaaba, it kneels down. And so the army was stuck, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds. And these birds came, according to many of the Mufassirin, from the direction of the sea, and were probably swallows and starlings. Each bird carried 3 stones, size of a very small pebble, 1 in the beak, and 2 in their claws. And the birds went to high altitudes and then dropped down the stones on the army of Abraha. Now, we know scientifically that if you go to a high altitude and you drop an object, according to the laws of gravity, that it gains weight and power as it drops. If you went to the top of the Empire State Building in New York City, or the CN Tower in Canada, or that tower in Kuala Lumpur, which is the highest freestanding building, you drop a penny down. You drop, by the time it reaches the bottom, it's like a bomb. And so, using the forces of nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent waves and waves of these birds dropping down the pebbles, which is like being bombed by a modern army. And Allah reveals to us in the 105th chapter of the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bi hijaratin min sijjil faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not seen how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephants? Did he not make their plot go astray? And he sent against them birds in flocks, striking them with stones of baked clay. And he made them like an empty field of stalks, like corn stalks, which has been chewed up by cattle. And you know, when the cattle chews it up and lets it out, then it's like smashed. It's soft and it's smashed. And so literally, the Quran describes the condition of the army of Abraha. It was decimated, and they began to flee south. And it is reported that Abraha himself lost his fingers, and then cuts began to be filled with pus. People were dying at the water holes, and finally Abraha fell down and his heart burst, and his army was finished. His son took over and ruled in his place, and then his son's son, until Saif Dhu-Yazan al-Himyari went to the rulers, first the Byzantine Romans, and they refused to go south. Then they went to the Persians, to Kisra, and they convinced the Persians to attack, and they attacked Yemen, and the Persians conquered the south of Arabia. This is a very important point to recognize this Persian presence. Some of the historians even look at the word Mogadishu, you know, the capital of Somalia. They say Mogadishu. Some of the historians believe that name is Maqad al-Shah, Maqad al-Shah. And Maqad is like the seat of the Shah, or the ruler of Persia, because the Persians controlled Yemen, the coastline of Ethiopia, south down to Somalia. They controlled that region for a period of time. And so history tells us that Ethiopian rule in Yemen was for approximately 72 years. But this is an important time for us, and it sets the stage for the coming of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. In the rest of Arabia, it was the time of Jahiliyyah. They originally were believing in one God, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then Ismail alayhi salam. And that belief continued amongst the tribes of Jurhum and the other Arab tribes, until the people began to go to idol worship. And it is reported that Amr ibn Luhay, although he was known for righteousness, he brought back an idol from Syria. The idol's name was Hubal. And he brought back Hubal, and he put it in the middle of the Kaaba. This is the first recorded time that an idol was being used in the Kaaba. After that, he went to Jeddah, and Ibn Ishaq and many of the historians have reports that say a company of jinn were actually helping him to do this work. And he dug into the ground in Jeddah, and he produced some of the ancient idols from way back in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. He produced Manat, the idol called Manat, which was worshipped in Mushallal, a place near the Red Sea. He produced Al-Lat, that was worshipped in At-Ta'if. And he produced Al-Uzza, that was worshipped in the valley of Nakhla. And so these are some of the idols that you hear about. And these idols were brought. And also, with the help of this jinn, he dug up some of the ancient ones, and the specific ones coming from the time of Nuh alayhi salam. He found Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, wa Nasr. And you see the Quran mentioning these names. These were buried in Jeddah, and he put them in Tihama, a little bit to the south. And so idol worship then began to spread in the area of the Kaaba itself. And by the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they had reached 360 idols. Every day of the lunar year, there was another idol that was revered and worshipped inside of the Kaaba. And so the Arabs at that time in Jahiliyyah had distinct parts of their personality. They did not have culture in the sense of rugs. They did not have large buildings. They did not have expensive jewelry. But there was something about their actions and their character. And I want to talk about some of the negative features, and then some of the positive features. In the negative features, number one, in the time of Jahiliyyah, and we have to think about this ourselves, because there's a tendency for Muslims to go back into Jahiliyyah, and then we have to come into Islam. And so, number one, they had a problem of self-devotion or seeking refuge and praying to the idols. Instead of praying directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to go through the idol and then ask the idol to ask Allah. And this is very similar. The Hindus will tell you, if you speak to Hindus, they will say, Shiva and Krishna, we don't worship them. That's what they'll tell you. They say, we're going through Shiva and we are going through Krishna in order to reach the Great Spirit. And so similarly, the Arabs went through Lat and Uzza and Hubal and these different gods in order to reach the one God who they knew was named Allah. And this is a very important point, because some of the enemies of Islam said that the word Alat became Allah. Like, that's where the word Allah comes from. And if you look at how the words are spelled, it's just the difference in the ta. Or it's a ha or tar marbuta at the end. So they say Alat became Allah. But this is a lie. And we refute this because the pagans at the time worshipped Alat to get to Allah. So they knew the word Allah even in their jahiliyyah. Secondly, they would perform pilgrimage to their idols. And sometimes they would make tawaf around the Kaaba with no clothes. They would prostrate to their idols. They would seek favor with their idols through sacrifice. وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ. You'll see this in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in verse 3. And in Surah Al-An'am, you'll see in verse 136, 138, 139, all over Surah Al-An'am, you will see how the Arabs were sacrificing animals. They were making sacrifices to their gods. And they would bless portions of food, portions of their drink. They would also bless cattle, and they would bring crops. They would dedicate special animals to their gods. Some of the animals, for instance, that were special, if you had a cow or a camel that was female and it gave birth to 10 females in a row, then that is a special animal. So they had certain categories. But when the question came to them, why are you going through these gods? What do these gods mean? If they're people, whether they're people or whether they're trees or whether they're jinn, and they would say, وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُنَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. And you'll find this in chapter 39, verse 3. We worship them only that they may bring us closer to Allah. They also had fortune telling with arrows. They gambled. And they drank alcohol, wine, intoxicants. And so their society was a society of polytheism. But some of the good qualities of the Arabs, and this is probably part of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them, is that in their character itself, they had strong qualities. Number one, they believe in hospitality. They would keep their promises. They had a strong sense of honor. They had a firm will and determination. They had perseverance, and they had pure Bedouin simple life. They were truthful and courageous. That was the Arabs in the time of Jahiliyyah. This was the climate. And in the year when the elephants attacked Mecca, called Aam al-Fil, that is the year in which our beloved Prophet Muhammad was born. He was born in the year that Abraha attacked the Kaaba. May Allah help us and strengthen us with this knowledge and give us the best of this seerah in this life and the next life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.